Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the XL Trojan Podcast. I'm back again. And this week, I have none other than... Do you go by your whole name these days or just Francis?
Just Francis.
Okay, because used to go by all three of your names.
No, I feel like I just did that to, like... just so, like, the blog name made sense. Like, I feel like, without the knowing, like, the full name, it's just kind of like, why is your blog called Lee's Lookbook? So I felt like
it was branding.
It was branding.
Okay, it was all branding. Okay, so you were thinking of branding very early. Okay.
Yeah.
So now that, so Francis is my guest of the week, which clearly we already dived into conversation. So let's start at the very beginning, because I know that if y'all follow him now, y'all might not know, but he used to have a blog that I was the shit back then.
Yeah. Thank you.
When did you start the blog?
I have had a blog since high school. I've always kind of like had a blog. Like, I started out on Tumblr. And then I moved over, I think, to, like, I guess just having, like, my own blog, like, outside of, like, Tumblr. But I've always, like, had a blog, like, ever since high school. And I would just, like, I would start it and then stop. I did that through high school. I actually did it through college, too. Like, I would blog. But the problem with it is, like, I think the reason why it never took off is because I never created, like, original content. Like, it was always just, like, stuff I saw, like, online and just sharing, like, my thoughts about it. But I never, like, produced, like, my own content. So I really didn't start taking blogging seriously until after college. And I was, like, working at a boutique at the time. And I was meeting, like, influencers that blogged, like, full time. And I'm like, okay. I blog, and I kind of want to do what they're doing. Like, I want to be able to, like, do this full time. So I started making, like, my own content, like, just whatever I could at the time. And that was, like, actually one of the best pieces of advice someone gave me. She was, like, trying on clothes, and she was just like, you know, you have everything it takes to be successful as a blogger or an influencer, but you just got to just do what you can with what you've got. You know, you may not have, like, the money, the resources, or whatever to, like, be on everybody's level, but you have an it factor.
You do.
So just do the best you can. And that's when I feel like things really started. So I would say, like, that was about, like 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been doing this for a minute, but I would say, like, seriously, about 5 years ago.
Okay. So... when I found you, you used to live in a whole other state. I don't know if the people know what state you live in now. I don't want to share. You haven't shared. Have you shared?
Not on this page yet. But yeah, so I'm originally
not here, like, on my podcast, but, like, on your platforms. Like, people know that you live in another state or not?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because I didn't want to share if it wasn't something you were telling people yet.
No. So I've been in Atlanta for, like, it'll be 3 years in November. So I've been here for, like, 2.5 years.
Can you believe
it? And what is it?
Can you believe it?
No, I was actually, I did, like, an icebreaker with, at work today. And the question that I asked was, what do you think your younger self wouldn't believe about your life today? And that was, like, one of the things. I feel like my younger self wouldn't believe that I no longer live in Kentucky.
Oh, you thought you'd live in Kentucky forever?
I mean, I just never really thought about it. Like, I never really, like, thought much about, like, where I would be. And then if I did, it was, like, I considered, like, L.A. or New York or something like that. But right. I feel like as a kid, it was just, like, I never really thought about, like, leaving Kentucky. Like, it was just, like, all my family's there. All my friends are there. So it's just, like... there's nothing I ever really, really, like, considered. And so I feel like my younger self would definitely be surprised that, like, I'm in Atlanta now and I've been here for, like, almost 3 years.
Ooh, okay. So you've been in Atlanta for 3 years now. So when I met you, you lived in Lexington, Kentucky, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I still to this day can't tell you what possessed me to do this. Because to this day, I look back sometimes, Facebook reminds me of those memories, and I look back and I still don't know what possessed me to do that. So I saw your content and I was sparked by, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be a travel blogger. But the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to go around city to city, and I'm going to interview the bloggers that I like their content. That was what I was going to do. And oh, you know something you don't know? Like, while I was traveling, I got lost. I think I remember telling you, but I don't think you knew how far lost I was. Like, I was an hour away lost.
No, I think I actually remember that.
Because I was supposed to meet you at 3, and I think I didn't show up till like 4:30. I was an hour lost because I went out in the wrong direction in a whole nother town and ended up seeing a Piggly Wiggly, and I was like, where the fuck am I?
Yeah, no, that's, yeah, that'll, like, Kentucky has a lot of, like, back roads, so, and there's, I feel like the exits are, like, 10, 20 miles apart, so once you miss an exit, it's a wrap.
That's basically what happened to me. It was a wrap. And so I feel like that sparked my, like, the beginning journey of, like, closely following your work, the content you create. And so what I want to know is, like, where, like, what was your state of mind when you were creating back in Lexington? Because your content back then looks very different from your content now.
And I'm curious to see, like what you, like, what do you notice that's different about it? I would say, like, now or then, like, I just wanted an outlet. Like, I've always kind of had, like, this interest in fashion, mainly just because of, like, my self-esteem. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always just kind of been, like, heavier than everybody around me. Mm-hmm. And not to say, like, I'm the heaviest, like, person in the world or anything like that, but, like, I was just always the heaviest person around me. Mm-hmm. Hold on, I'm gonna shift over to, got this charger, make sure we don't, you know, we still juiced up the entire time. But yeah, so, like, I was always the heaviest person, like, around me, and it just got to a point where I kind of, like, started experimenting with clothes and stuff, mm-hmm. and people would, like, compliment me, and I'm like, oh, like, this is, like, a way that I can kind of, like, boost my confidence. And then it got to a point where it's just, like, as I continued, like, experimenting with it, and I feel like as I'm, like, saying this is a long answer to, like, what you were asking. But I'm going to take you through it. I'm going to take you through the journey. But, yeah, so, like, after a while, it was just, like, I didn't need, like, people to, like, validate me. Like, I already, like, it got to a place where it was, like, when people would say, like, oh, you look nice. I'm like, I don't know. You know, so it was, like, fashion was just my way of, like, yeah, it was like fashion was like my way of like boosting my own confidence. Like I really didn't need like that validation from people all the time because I just didn't need it. Like I just felt good about myself. And so I remember like as a kid too, like I always watched like fashion shows like and all that type of stuff, like America's Next Top Model, really all of them. What is it? Janice Dickinson had like a modeling show.
Like she did, right?
She did, yeah. And then someone else, there was like a couple like modeling shows and I was just like, I really want to like get in fashion, but like I'm heavy. So like modeling's out of the question. And I remember seeing Rachel Zoe, that stylist Rachel Zoe, like she had a show for a while too. And I was like, okay, this is it.
Rachel Zoe Report, something like that.
The Zoe Project was what it was called. And so I was like, that's it. Like that's going to be my way into fashion. And so when I went to like college, I got like a full ride to school. And so I was like, okay, they like, I could study somewhere else and try to get like a fashion degree, but I have an opportunity to like graduate without any debt and get a good education still. So I was like, I'm gonna do that. So I did that and I was like, I still need like some type of like outlet. And so that's kind of like my blog is kind of was just my way of like documenting like what I was learning about fashion, what I liked about it. And that type of thing. So that's kind of like what started it. And then as far as like producing the content, like that was just kind of like the next step. It was just like, you know, you can't be someone that's like, you know, on Getty Images or like, you know, like just researching things that like you want to post. Like at some point you have to like produce your own content. So yeah, I just figured I needed to do that. So that was the next step, was just like shooting like actual things that I had and sharing like my own personal style as opposed to like, you know, what I saw.
What you saw online. Okay, that makes perfect sense. So then you start creating your own content. And then for you, like sonically, what created the shift that said, I want to move to Atlanta? And not only did you move to Atlanta, but your style got so like, you do you know that commercial? I think it's a Dior commercial, and it's with and it says, I'm free to do what I want any old time. Okay.
No, this, I haven't seen it, but
I can't think of her name. She's a very pop. Dua Lipa.
Okay, yeah.
That's what your content gives me now. It's like, it gives me freedom. And I wanted to know, is there a correlation to that with moving, or was it just... that's where your style was heading anyway, and so moving to Atlanta was just you getting to showcase the style you were already getting ready to move into, but you changed your style. Like, you're so free with yourself. Like, even your poses are, like, funky. They're, like, you really feel like you've fully embodied who you are as a person now. Which I never realized before there was a difference. But then when you see this content, you compare it to that content, you can see the difference. So I'm wondering, was it Atlanta? Was it something in you? Was it already about to happen? So if you would have stayed in Lexington, this is what your shit would have looked like anyway. Like, how is that?
It's like, I think, so fashion, I think, is always a reflection of, like, what's going on in the world. And, of course, like, I guess as far as, like, my fashion, it's going to be, like, my personal style. So, like, what's going on in my life? So, like, my move definitely had an effect on my personal style. Like, I feel like my move has kind of just been, like, represented my opportunity to kind of just like find myself and fully like embrace myself. And so I feel like the more I learn about myself, I think the more free like my style gets. And as far as like where I'm at right now, like one of my friends, or I guess I would just say like someone, like I feel like, you know how like people like come into your life or whatever and they kind of like teach you something. I feel like this is kind of like how that friend was. I feel like I just learned a lot about myself from him. Like, I feel like, so as far as like coming out and all of that type of stuff, like, I feel like that's also kind of like been a result of it. And I think just kind of like figuring out like how I identify, like how I want to like represent myself, all of those like type of things. And I feel like that has like kind of just allowed me to like, I've always experimented, but that's kind of just like giving me more freedom as far as like where I want to like go with like my style and like all that type of stuff. It's just, cause I feel like as far as like men and stuff, like across the board, like I feel like I don't care how you identify. Like, I feel like if you're a man, there's a certain way that you're supposed to dress, or a certain way that you're supposed to present, or a certain way that you're supposed to act, all of these like type of things. Mm-hmm. And being around, like having friends or whatever that like didn't put themselves in a box kind of inspired me, like, okay, like I don't need to be in a box. Like, I can identify a certain way and then I can dress a certain way too. Like, I don't have to like, I don't have to fit anybody's
standard
or like expectation, you know? And so that's given me kind of like, I feel like that's why the content, I think, kind of reflects that. Like, I'm in a place where it's just like, I'm aware whatever I want. Like, I've always, like, felt like that. Like, I've always felt like I can wear whatever I want. But even in saying that, like, there's still, I was still limiting myself. And now I really, really, like, do feel like that. Like, I'm 30 years old. Like, I pay my own bills. I call the shots, you know? Like, I run the show. So it's like, I've always felt like I can dress however I want. But I really, really feel like that now. Like, I feel like I can wear whatever I want and kill it, you know? And so, like, that's what I've been doing.
I didn't know you were 30.
Yeah, yeah. I actually will be 31 this year. Like, I'll be 31 in October.
The things you learned on my podcast, because I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm an old guy.
Okay, so you are moving along this journey. You feel free now to literally do what you want any old time. Mm-hmm. And so now, you know, your style is very much reflecting of that. And I noticed that and I love it because just like I didn't know, you know, I knew part of the transformation, but I knew it, but I didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from your mouth, but I knew it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in walking through this new journey now,
mm-hmm.
what I'm interested to find out is how you have shown up for yourself differently now, not only in fashion, but like in life. Because even when you said, I'm 30, he was like, I pay my own bills. Like, fuck gonna tell me what? You had that, like, there's nothing you can tell me. And I love that. That freedom is what people need to experience in the world. Because bondage is how we end up in a lot of the shit we end up in the world. So, like, that freedom, everyone needs to see that freedom so they know that they have permission to be free. But I want to know how that translates into the rest of your life. Because, obviously, fashion is a portion. But, you know, you have your home life, your mental health, your other areas of your life. So, like, how has that helped the other areas of your life?
I would say, like, giving myself permission to explore and learn more about myself, like, just in general. Like, that's the thing about it is like, all of it is a journey, honestly. And so, like, this person that I was today is not the same person that I was, like, a couple months ago or, like, a year ago or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. So, I feel like as far as, like, showing up about myself, it's really just making mistakes and learning from them. That's honestly, like, all it comes down to is just, like, when they say, like, you know better, you do better.
Yes.
It's kind of one of those things. So it's like, after so many times of like hearing like you should know better, or this is what you should do next time, eventually like that should turns into like, okay, this is what I'm gonna do.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's like that's kind of like what it is. It's just like I've been in a lot of situations of like learning. Like I'm one of those people, like I have to learn things the hard way. Like, that's just how I, like, learn. And I hate that, but it's just, like, that's how I learn things. And so I've learned a lot of things, like, the hard way. And that's allowed me to, like, I guess show up for myself a little bit more. Like, I've been through a lot of, like, shitty situations in the past. And even today, like, I was kind of thinking about it. I'm like, okay, like, I see, like, patterns in, like, the way that, like, I make choices or the way I live my life. And it's like, once I like identify that, it's like, okay, that could potentially be like an issue. And you may need to like pivot from that, you know? So that's kind of like a part of it is just making mistakes and continuing to like make those same mistakes. And at some point realizing like, okay, you know, like what's causing this and deciding to like, do something different and not make that same mistake, you know, the 100th time, you know?
Right.
I feel like that's kind of like showing up for myself. It's just like, you, like, once you learn a lesson, it's like at some point you gotta like you kind of have to like stand up for yourself and like pivot.
So now we're pivoting. So what I want to do is, well, kind of not a pivot, not really a pivot, but I want to know what happened to the blog because we don't see it no more.
Life and yeah, like I feel like are people like, I really, to be honest, I'm just kind of like discouraged with it.
Okay,
fair. Because it's just like are people reading like blogs and stuff, you know? Like, I feel like as far as how people digest content or how people enjoy content is like constantly changing. And for me, it's just kind of becoming like overwhelming to keep up with. And so as far as like blogging goes, I'm just like, are people even like reading this, you know? Like, are people like enjoying it, or is it just something like I'm just putting out there? And because like for me, that's the other thing that's like hard about it is I hate writing. Like, I'm good at writing, but I hate writing. So like sit there and like write this long like post, and then it's like people don't even enjoy it. It's just kind of discouraging. So it's like a part of me still wants to do it. I feel like I still need like some type of like corner in the internet, like for myself. I still don't know what that looks like right now. And I think that that's something that I would like to like figure out. Cause it's like, I still blog, but it looks like a post a year, like that New Year's, hey y'all, like I'm back. Sorry, it's been a minute. And then you fall off for the rest of the year.
You do it again January 1st the next year.
Yeah, like I'm gonna do it again. Like that's my New Year's resolution. Like I'm gonna get back to blogging and producing content on a regular basis, and you fall off again.
And it don't happen. It's okay. I mean, I just wanted to understand. I thought maybe there was something else going on with the blog, but listen, writing blog posts is the problem.
It's the worst. It's interesting to hear like someone else's perspective. Like I think I don't know, hearing like what other people like think of you is always kind of like interesting, and so it's interesting to hear like, oh, somebody like we have one reading, like okay, might need to fire it back up.
He has arrived. It's me. Yes, I read all the blogs still. But you're right. I think people's interests have shifted, and not everyone is reading blogs the way they used to. However, one thing I still find very important is, I think they're reading. I believe they're still reading. I believe it's important now than ever to write what I like to call, well, I didn't call it this, so let me not take credit for it, evergreen content.
Right.
I think people, that content is always going to resonate. So, yeah, you might not have like 10,000 eyeballs per week like you used to, but having that content up will, over time, you know, be worth it. So, yeah, like before, you know, you used to get, in my opinion, the traffic used to be a lot higher. Now it's a lot less, but I feel like the long-term benefit of that is that you end up gaining customers that will find you because evergreen content ends up being pushed higher. Like for my site, like one of my top websites is like, my top links is like how to identify the different types of sizes in big and tall. And I wrote that post like 4 years ago. Right. It's like when I wrote it, no one was reading when I wrote that post, I was getting like 100 visits per week. So, but now, you know, my website is doing, you know, 5 and 6 figure numbers. Now that post is worth something. So yeah, right. At the time, no one was reading my shit. And I was like, man, fuck this shit. I'm gonna stop blogging. But then now I look back and I'm glad that I did, although I hated it. I didn't want to do it so bad. I really hated it. I still do. But I know why it's beneficial to do.
If you were to write a book, what would the book be about?
What would the book be about? Is this fiction or nonfiction?
See, it doesn't say. That means you could write about whatever you want to write.
As a kid, like, I always kind of liked the idea of writing. And so I probably would write a horror story. Okay. I've always, like, felt like...
like American horror story? Horror story?
No, like, just horror. Like, I love, like, horror movies and stuff like that. And I just feel like a lot of movies are really bad. And I don't know if... I feel like a lot of it has to do with, like, the story not being that great.
You don't like when they make the book into a movie? That is what you're talking about, or
no? I think like I just like horror stories, but like I like maybe I'm even thinking like more so like movies too. But I just feel like for me, I love movies in books too, like really books and movies. Like I like something that like after I finish it, it kind of unsettles me a little bit. Oh. And I just can't stop thinking about it after I like finish it. And so I love the idea of like maybe writing a book like that. That's just kind of like, just something that kind of gets under your skin and like sticks with you after you finish it.
That's how I feel when I watch SVU Law and Order. I like it.
I love like that feeling of just like just finishing something and it kind of like fucks you up for a little bit. And you're like, damn, like, that's a really, like, whether it's devastating or, like, enjoyable or, like, makes you cry or makes you laugh. Like, just something that's just, like, just sticks with you afterwards.
Yeah, those are the books you can't read after midnight. I don't like them.
No, they're good. They're good.
Given the choice of anyone in the world, whom would you want as a dinner guest? They could be dead or alive.
Dead or alive. I would love to sit down with my dad, Tom Ford.
Okay.
I just feel like Tom Ford's like crazy talented. And I would just love to like sit and like pick his brain. Because I feel like the way he like sees the world is like beautiful. So I would just love to like sit and learn more.
Okay. That was an amazing answer that I don't know why I wasn't thinking about fashion. I thought it would be, that's a good answer.
No, I feel like anyone that knows me knows I love Tom Ford. So it's always hard for me, Tom Ford.
So while you're at dinner, can mm-hmm. you please ask him why he don't sell plus size things? That's all.
No, he does. He does. You got to look into it.
Excuse me?
You got to look into it. But like, he's definitely like, he's done the plus size thing. I personally would say he hasn't done it well, but he's done it. What did Nene say? Like, when you got the coin, they make it in your size. It's given that. It's definitely given that. It's given that.
So basically what you're saying is I'm broke. That's why I didn't know that. It's okay. It's all right.
Listen, we both broke. I ain't got Tom Ford money either.
It's okay. I'm okay with that. Okay. So now I want to follow your journey a little. We're going to fast forward a little. You've moved to Atlanta. You know, you're not producing. You're producing your own content now rather than, you know, like you was on the blog. You know, finding style that you liked or admired. So what I want to know now is you moved like from blogger into influencing and done an absolutely amazing job at it. And one of the things I want to talk about, which I don't know if you find this, maybe this is just the outward expression. Maybe there's something that happened in your career that you like kept to yourself that wasn't like out to the public. But when I saw that Express had your photo up, like next to the curated collection that you had, mm-hmm. I was like, my people, they have arrived. How did that come to happen? Like, tell us everything you can legally. Legally.
Okay. I don't think where to start with that. Like, Okay. So, like, I remember, so, like, as far as, like, influencing, people always ask, like, how do I get into influencing? How do I become a blogger? All that type of stuff. For me, I started by just, like, posting organic content, and I would, like, tag the brands or use hashtags.
Mm-hmm.
And so I worked at Express, so I had, like, plenty of it, a lot of Express clothing. And then I liked it, like, in college, too, like, that, or, like, in high school and college, too. Like, that was just, like, I genuinely enjoyed, like, wearing Express. So, like, I would blog about them. So I remember they had a contest, and I won. They, like, basically it was, like, you were supposed to, like, post something, like, on, like, post an outfit or whatever on Instagram. I posted a flat lay, and I won the contest. Like, they loved the outfit.
Whoa, so you won with a flat lay. You didn't even have to show yourself.
Right, yeah. So that was kind of, like, a little bit, like, so that was, like, a part of it. It's just, like...
Like, tell me you the shit without telling me you the shit.
sort of. So, like, I won this contest, and it was just, like, a gift card to, like, buy more clothing. So, like, I bought, like... So that was the thing, like, the post... only had one piece from Express. The rest of it was, like, just random stuff I had. Like, I had, like, a coat and some boots. The jeans were the only thing that were, like, from Express.
So you put an outfit together. Okay.
Yeah. So then once I got this gift card, I bought, like, a bunch of stuff from Express. And I just, like, just kept continuing, like, to post and tag. And then after a while, they reached out to me, like, through one of their influencer marketing, like, programs. Because there's a couple companies that they work with. So one of them reached out to me, you know, just, like, basically, like, this one was kind of, like, when they started, like, their big, like, influencer initiative. So they were kind of, like, offering, like, I guess, like, an in-kind, like, partnership. So basically, like, in exchange for product, they would, you know, you would just post for an exchange for products. So I started doing that for a while. And then another influencer marketing, like, company that they worked with started reaching out to me as well. So I was kind of like posting like all the time. Like you would think like I was just like the Express guy. Like I've got it from this company and then from this one too. So I was like constantly posting about Express on top of like just producing like organic content because I had all of this clothing from Express. And then as far as the curation goes, like I think I just kept doing it for a while. And it was, I was just, like, consistent with my content. Like, that's one thing I can say about myself is that every time I produce something, I'm like, how can I do it better the next time?
Okay.
And I think these brands see that and work with me because of it. Because, like, the content is, like, on a certain level. And so through that, I think, like, these consistent partnerships, eventually it was like, okay, like, we want to like partner with you like on a store level. Like we want to have you like curate a collection and then feature you that way. So yeah, so it's basically like really, I think it just comes down to like being consistent and producing good work. I think that's like kind of like what led to that. It's just being consistent and producing good work.
I promise you if there was a door in, I would go in there and I would break the door down myself. Y'all could just run in the building. But there's no cheat code. There's no door. That's a lie. There's a cheat code. It's all about who you know. So actually there's a cheat code. If you know the people that are making the decisions, you probably got it in. But for the rest of us, there's no cheat code.
You. No, like I mean, I don't even like I didn't even know anybody. Like well, for me, you,
just, specifically, I'm saying
just in general.
In general, like for those of us who don't know the people who are working at these influencing companies or who are over the social marketing teams, social media team, you know, we have to grind, and so the grind looks like creating consistent content, making sure you tag the brand. And making sure that your outfit looks a step above their content, but still on brand, but a step above. So you got to make them look at your content and be like, why don't our content look like that content? And we make the clothes.
And that's what it's all about. Like, as far as like the influencer marketing companies, like one of them is kind of almost like an agency. So like they kind of go out and find like work for you. The other one, like, they kind of go out and, like, I guess both of them are kind of like agencies. Like they basically, it's all about just like partnering you with companies that they think like you would be on brand for. But like the brand also has to like want to work with you too. Like it has to make sense on like both ends.
Yeah, mutual agreement.
Yeah, so like I wouldn't say like I have like a what do you call it? Like I wouldn't say like I have like an in or like I know anybody. I would just say like I've just done the work. Like I've produced like consistent content, and at some point it gets recognized. And I think that's kind of one of the ways that it gets recognized. It's just like, hey, we see like this content that you're producing. We'd love for you to produce that content for us.
That's
it. So that's kind of how it's been.
That's it. On par. You work, yeah. you work, and because work means you being in the right place. Like, you know, today I got a few likes on my picture. Brand I've been trying to work with forever. So I hope that means they looking at me now. Because your boy's out here trying to work. So yeah. But yeah, that's really what it is. It's consistently creating content and tagging the brand, and one day the brand will see you. Because somebody will see you and say, we recommend him, or this guy looks really great, or he produces amazing content, and his content is a step above the rest. Who's that person? Contact him. We need him. I don't care what he costs. I want him.
And that's the thing too, is like, I feel like it's really about just like the quality of the content. I think everybody has a cell phone, so like everybody can essentially be a content creator, but everybody doesn't have an eye or style. And not to like just like, I'm just saying like that's like a part of it. Like that's a part of it. It's just like, I think people don't necessarily like get that. They're just like, how are you doing that? How are you like getting with these brands? How are you like doing this? How are you doing that? And I'm like, I sit and I study, you know? Like, I think that's, like, a part of it is, like, you know, like, if you want to work for a brand, you also have to, like, understand the brand and produce the content that they want to reproduce, you know?
Correct. That's 1,000% correct. Like, something I studied, if you want to work with Old Navy, just throwing something out there because that's the last commercial that I saw. Mm-hmm. Like, their content is fun. It's upbeat. It's vibrant. So, like, you're not going to create boardroom content for that kind of brand, right?
That's the thing. Like, it's part of it is about like staying true to yourself. But so it's like when brands work with you, they want content through your eye, but it still has to be on brand, if that makes sense.
Yes.
You know, it just has to be like on brand, even if it's still has like your flavor on it, it still has to be on brand.
Correct, because it's a mutual partnership. They like what you create, and you create what they like. So it's like, mm-hmm. It goes together. You get the in-store. You are still continuing, by the way, mm-hmm. to produce your regular content, mm-hmm. On your own social media. And mm-hmm. so, like I said, I noticed the shift. So when I first met you, you were taking your own photos. Mm-hmm. What I want to know is, are you still taking your own photos?
I am.
I'm so intrigued by that. You know, you're the... I still don't know how you do that.
I
do not take my own photos.
I, like... The problem is that I'm just not good with money. That's the problem. Like, I'm just not good with money. As soon as I get it, I spend it. And so rather than putting it in somebody else's pocket, I want to make sure all the coins is in mine. So like when someone offers me like a partnership and I have an opportunity to like hire a photographer, it depends. So this is like the other thing too. Like the last couple times I've been like asked, like I know there's going to be a really large payout and I know that I can afford a photographer. I would like to, because I'm like, I want, if you're paying like thousands of dollars, I'm like, okay, I want to make sure like this looks like thousands of dollars worth of content. But if you're also giving me like one day to shoot it, like the turnaround is like 24 hours. Like, I don't have a photographer that's just like on call like that. You know what I mean? Like, photographers have lives. So I'm just like, if your expectation is for me to like turn around content in 24 hours and that's all I get,
you're gonna be producing,
you're gonna get what you get, you know? And it, I mean, like, it passes. So, like, I think like that's the thing that's like frustrating about it, is I feel like brands do themselves a disservice by having such like tight deadlines. I feel like if brands gave you more creative control and also gave you like time to really produce like quality content, mm-hmm. I think that like it would just be a better partnership for everybody. But that isn't always the case. Like, the last couple times I've worked with companies, it's kind of like, hey, like, we need this back, like, you know, in a, like, tomorrow. And I'm like,
tomorrow?
I'm like, let me just take off work. Let me hire a photographer and, like, make sure, you know, everything's all good to go, like, by tomorrow. So it just gets stressful. And I feel like, you know, I end up kind of just producing, like, whatever I can. So sometimes it looks like it's, like, just whatever I could do. And other times, like, I feel like, okay, like, sometimes I push myself and I'm like, okay, like, I'm still able to, like, turn out a really good photo shoot under the pressure. But, yeah, I still shoot my own content.
Okay, cool. Because, yeah, I don't know how you do that. I'm still... It's the setup for me. It's the ISO. It's the f-stop. How are you doing all that? Like, do you have an app or something? That remote?
The remote, yeah. Like, I feel like once you learn the basics of, like, photography, so, like, the right f-stop, the right shutter speed, and the right ISO, you're good to go. So, like, for me, personally, like, as far as, like, photography goes, well, for influencer photography, so, like, I wouldn't call myself, like, this big, like, photographer. I can produce a good picture, basically. But, like, as far as it, like, being, like...
Take photos at one point?
Huh?
Didn't you used to take photos at one point? Like, for other people?
Barely. Like, every now and then, like, I get asked to, but it's still kind of just, like, it's from... just what I know, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so that's still what I like do for myself. It's just like I set my settings and then go from there.
Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. So I want to know, mm-hmm. In closing, you've been doing this for 5, 6, 7 years. Actually, you said you've been blogging since high school. If you could tell your high school self something that you've learned along this journey that you're now an influencer and working your way to be a full-time influencer, what would you do differently?
I would have started sooner.
Really?
Yeah, like, all the people that, like, I looked up to back then, like, blog full time, like, have, you know, they're working with like luxury brands. Some of them walk, you know, some of the fashion shows. They're going to Fashion Week. Like, I don't know, it's so crazy. And like, sometimes I try not to like think about it too much, because it's just like, you had a chance, you know, and I didn't, like, I just didn't get into it. But I look at like all of like the big names.
Mm-hmm.
Even some of them, like, know me. Like, when I go to, like the last couple of times, like, I went to Fashion Week, it's, like, I've gotten a chance to, like, meet some of them. And they're really cool. And it feels like, damn, like, they see my work. They, like my work. And I'm, like, you have what it takes. You just are kind of, like, playing catch-up now, you know? So I kind of just wish I started sooner. Like, I wish when these guys were, like, getting started, I was blogging too, and I never really took it seriously like they did. And their consistency and the way that they like push themselves has gotten them to like where they are. And I feel like I'm still in the state of kind of just like playing catch up to like get to like where they're at, you know? So that would be like my advice is just like, just go ahead and do it. Like you have what it takes, go ahead and do it.
Okay. I definitely understand that. Cause I feel you on that. I do wish, actually my only wish is that I was more consistent.
Yeah.
Cause you're right. The people that started, like when I started blogging, Nicole Bitchy had just started.
I'm not even familiar with that blog.
Her new blog is XO Nicole. Nicole Bitchy is like what the Shade Room is today.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
It was where you went for urban entertainment. And like, oh my God, do you remember Concrete Lou?
That sounds familiar. I guess when I think about like guys, like I'm thinking about guys. I'm thinking of like, I think his name is like Modi Ankari or something like that. And then Marcel Flores, I think is his name.
Oh, I get it. You're thinking of models. I get it.
No, they're not even models. Like they were bloggers, but they've been like doing this. Like they were big on Tumblr. Like they, you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. It's like, I was on Tumblr. I remember seeing like them like producing their content. And I see them today, like they're still doing it, but it's like they do it full time. They're like, they have their own lines. Like, you know, like they've been doing this. And it's like, you had a chance to like do it as well. You just weren't producing on their level back then. And now that you are on their level, it's kind of like you really have to put in the work because they've been doing this.
So now that you brought that up, I thought I was going to close on that, but now you gave me another idea. So, what's one thing in fashion that you want to do that you haven't done? Like the thing that's going to make you like jump out of bed, run around the house, call everybody you love, like I made it. Like what's that thing? What does that thing look like for you?
Sad. I feel like this is sad because it's not like necessarily like a fashion moment. It's more so just having like a viral moment. I haven't had like a viral moment, and I would love that because I just feel like as far as like blogging and stuff goes, for me, I just look at it as far as like just telling stories. And I would like to tell my story to like a bigger audience.
Understood.
And so I'm just kind of looking for that, like that viral moment, just something that like resonates with people. And I haven't had that yet. So that would be the moment, like, cause I've seen people have that and I've seen their lives change. And I think like, that's kind of like what I'm looking for. It's just like that, like viral life-changing moment. And I think that's why I kind of downplay a little bit of my success. Which is kind of sad, but it's like, yeah, I do kind of just want that, like, that moment of, like, life's not going to be the same anymore, you know?
Oh, I feel you. I feel like my friend Frank is having that right now. You know, the guy, do you watch The Circle?
I don't, but I do, I've been, like, following all of that, and, like, I know of him just through, like, social media, so it's like, I think that is like really dope to see. Like, that's what I mean. Like, just things like that. Like, I love seeing people like have that like life changing moment and they're able to like,
same again.
Yeah. Your life is just never going to be the same again. And I love that. And it's like, I'm kind of just waiting for that, like for myself. Like, I want that moment of like, you've made it. Like, to me, that'll make me feel like I've made it. Cause it's like, it's not like it's more so you've made it being you. And that's like what I want. It's just like, I don't necessarily want it to be like, oh, like I worked with this brand and so now I'm successful. It's more so like, I want what I'm doing to like resonate with other people. And they're like, damn, like that's what's up. Like, I support that.
Mm-hmm. You ready for the world to recognize you the shit just like we all do? I get you.
It's that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if people don't know where to find you, let them know your socials, where they can find you, so that you can go viral.
Yeah, so I'll just look for Francis Lee Baker 4. You'll find me anywhere. Francis Lee Baker 4.
All across the internet, you can find
Yeah.
Francis.
Instagram, Twitter, anywhere you look, Francis Lee Baker 4. There's only one, and that'll be me.
Okay. Well,
Yeah.
thank you so much for coming on another episode of the XL Tribesman podcast. And until next time, people, we are.
Thank you for having me.